Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministries. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we give you glory and we give you praise, hallelujah, for this broadcast today, Lord. God, I pray that everyone would be blessed that listens in, Lord God, that the word would go out over the airways, Lord God, and that you, God, would be glorified in everything that's said and done, that your church would be built up and edified, and Father, most of all, that you would be glorified and that we would present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you in the name of Jesus. And this is our reasonable sacrifice. God, we give you glory and praise. Bless the word on today, Lord God. Let it be meat for the soul, for the hearer, Lord God, in Jesus' name. God, we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming to you today, amen, talking about Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. We're going to do a little bit of teaching. The Lord dealt with my heart today. A lot of times when I go to church on a Sunday, I get thoughts, amen, and the Holy Ghost began to deal with me. I like to deal with it when it's fresh because it's fresh manna, amen, from heaven. So we're going to talk to you today about Peter, James, and John, and our first scripture comes from Luke chapter 5. Amen. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 1, we're going to start reading down through verse 11. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Now here we see the first time Jesus met Simon Peter, amen, was when Peter was working, amen. He was a fisherman. His father was a fisherman. He was a married man. He was a family man, because later on we see in the scripture where he had a wife, because Jesus healed his mother-in-law, and he had children. But Jesus had need of him. And here Jesus says in verse 3, and we're in Luke chapter 5, that he entered into one of the ships that was Simon's. So he had a particular plan for Simon, amen, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, in verse 1, it tells you that the people were pressing upon him. So Simon Peter was used in the ministry, amen, of Jesus Christ to help preach the word, because Jesus used his boat. Praise the Lord. In verse 4, it says, "When he had left speaking," or when he finished speaking to the people, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Verse 5, "And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled, we have worked all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." So Peter was obedient. Simon was obedient to the Lord. Verse 6, "And when they had left, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." Amen. Now, Peter was a fisherman, so this represented income for him. Amen. "They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." Now, I want you to see they said fishes. Amen. That means there were many different kinds of fish. So Peter here is experiencing a mighty financial blessing. Amen. Because the Lord, he allowed the Lord to use something that he had for the ministry. Amen. He invested in the ministry of Jesus, and he got a huge reward for being obedient to the Lord. And the Bible said a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And Peter beckoned unto his partners, which were in the other ship, because remember it was two ships there, that they should come and help him. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. This is called an overflow blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God has an overflow for you? Hallelujah. More than enough. So much that the overflow blessing is going to flow onto other people in your life, in your circle. It's going to flow into people in your family. It's going to overflow into people in your neighborhood. It's going to overflow into your friends. Amen. People at work. Anybody that you want to bless, you will be able to bless when you get the overflow blessing. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, Jesus had preached and taught for hours in the boat. That did not bring Peter to repentance. But look what brought Peter to repentance. It was the miracle that he saw Jesus perform for him. So a lot of times we got to get out there with the people. Instead of just preaching at the people, we need to meet the people's needs. When you begin to meet the needs of the people, people will begin to get saved. Amen. Peter said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He repented. He acknowledged that he was sinful. Verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draw of the fishes which they had taken, or the catch or the haul of the fishes that they had taken. And then verse 10 lets you see something else that we're going to talk about. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Now, James and John were disciples, called to be disciples as well. But I want you to see in verse 10 that the Bible says they were astonished also at the miracle, because they were the ones that was in the other boat. Amen. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. So James and John had a boat. Their family had a boat. Peter had a boat. He was on there with his brother Andrew. Peter had a boat, and they had a fishing business. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Hallelujah. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, the Bible says, and followed him. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. Jesus observed some fishermen cleaning their nets. And now, you know, when you see fishermen cleaning their nets, that means they're finished for the day. But in this group, Jesus knew that there was somebody he wanted to reach. It reminds me of the woman at the well where he told his disciples, I must go through Samaria. Sometimes when God has a calling on your life, he will go out of his way. He will go around a different way to get your attention. Amen. And Jesus knew that he wanted to reach Peter. Amen. He knew he had a calling on Peter's life. Amen. So look what he did. There was a life involved that he wanted to change. Everything Jesus did was to obtain in the end the desired consequences, which was always souls being saved. So we see here in verse 2, he observed some fishermen cleaning their net. He entered into Simon's boat. Now, do you think that it was by accident that he entered into Simon's boat? No, he could have easily gotten into Simon's friend's boat. He could have gotten into James and John's boat. But he knew the plans that he had for Simon that day. Before the foundation of the world, he had already planned for this to happen. The first thing he said to Simon was, get in your boat and thrust out a little from the land. Amen. So that was easy for Simon to do. He got in the boat. He thrust out a little from the land because Jesus needed to preach and teach the word of God. So he was more than willing to do that. In verse 4, the second thing he said to Simon after he finished preaching, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, I looked up that word draught, and it means a haul of fish, a huge amount, a haul. Amen. So I asked God to help me to see what Simon saw, because that's what made Simon come to his knees. And I asked God to help me to see that today. Verse 5, Simon said, we have worked all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. So the Bible says he told Jesus, at thy word I will let down my net. Even though I haven't done anything in and of myself to bring in any money or any income. I've been out here working, but it hasn't profited me, and I haven't caught anything. I've wasted all night, and I'm tired. I'm sure Simon Peter was tired. He wanted to go home and go to bed. He had been all night fishing and working, trying to bring food into his family. But when Jesus came, all of that changed. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, look at the results of Simon Peter's obedience. The Bible says he enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and so much and so that his net began to break. It was such an overflow that Peter was not ready. As the man of God said this morning, his net wasn't big enough or strong enough for the overflow blessing. A lot of times we have to, whatever we believe God for, that's what God will do. Remember the story with Elijah when the woman was, he told the woman to go get a vessel, not a few, and he was going to multiply the oil. He said, and as many vessels as she got, that's how many vessels he filled with oil. Now, she could have went and got two or three vessels and brought them back, and they would all have been filled. But I'm sure this woman went at the word of God. She went and borrowed vessels from people that she knew. She went and gathered as many as she could. I can imagine it was 20 or 30, maybe 40 or 50 vessels that she went and got, because the Elijah had told her through the prophecy, through the word of the Lord, go and gather vessels, not a few. There was the same type of mentality. When God tells you to do something, you got to give it your all. You got to give it your best. You got to expect God to do great things for you. Hallelujah. If you just expect a little bit from God, I tell you, that's all you're going to get is a little bit. But if you expect great things, hallelujah, from God, and you lean out and step out on faith, hallelujah, as a grain of mustard seed, Jesus said, you shall be able to speak to that mountain and tell it to remove, and it shall remove from here to there. Amen. So Peter said, he called his partners to him. After his net began to break, he called his partners, who was James and John, to help him with this miracle catch. And the Bible says that the overflow went into both boats, and they both began to sing. Hallelujah. So the overflow blessing will not only bless you, but it will bless those that you are partnered with. Praise the Lord. That's why sometimes God has to remove people out of your life before he bless you, especially with the overflow blessing, because some people don't deserve or don't have faith or don't need to be a part of what God is doing in your life or getting ready to do in you. Praise the Lord. And he wants to remove some of those people from your circle, so when he bless you, you'll already see those people were not for you. They were not in your corner. They didn't have your back. And you won't be a blessing to the wrong people, but you will be a blessing to the right people that God wants you to be a blessing to. Sometimes I believe God even holds back the blessing because we have people in our life that are not supposed to be there. So, saints, this is just another lesson for us to learn. But in verse 8, the Bible says, when Simon saw this miracle, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So he acknowledged him as Lord. And verse 10 lists his partners who were amazed as well, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Now, we're going to talk about them for a minute. These were Simon's partners. Now, how many of you know that sometimes when God saves you, he will save your partners as well? These three came to be known as the sons of Zebedee. They came to be known as part of the inner circle, but they also came to be known as the sons of thunder. And we're going to talk about that. Jesus took the same partners of Peter that he chose to run with, to hang with, and to, so what some people say nowadays, to be part of his posse. Jesus called these same people that Peter ran with before he met Jesus. Jesus called them to salvation, to run with Peter, to be his posse, and to hang with him, because he knew they were going to have each other's back. Just like they did in the world before they came to Jesus, they also had each other back in the gospel, and they all were together with Jesus, as some of the scriptures that we're going to look at in part of the inner circle. So Jesus told them in verse 10, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And the Bible says this miracle astonished them so to the point in verse 11 that when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So now let's keep on reading in Mark chapter 3, verse 16. Peter, James, and John. These scriptures are going to focus on Peter, James, and John today, saints. In Mark chapter 3, verse 16, and we're going to start in the beginning of the paragraph, which is verse 13. The Bible says that Jesus went up into a mountain and called up unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12, and that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. And to have, not only to preach now, but to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Now look at verse 16. This is one of our key verses, 16 and 17. Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, these were the sons of Zebedee, he surnamed Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. Amen. Verse 8. Now, we're not going to talk about verse 18. Let me go to my notes. I want to talk about Peter, James, and John. The other part of that scripture talks about the other 12 apostles. But anyway, I mean the rest of the 12 apostles. And so in Mark 3 and 16, he talks about Peter, James, and John. Now, in Mark 3 and 16, he surnamed Peter. The name Peter means this was Simon. He changed his name to Peter. He gave him a surname, Peter, which is Simon Peter. The word Peter means a rock or a cliff, and it refers to Peter's hard and unyielding soul. He became hard as a rock in his walk with Jesus. He was courageous and firm, working hard to establish the kingdom of God. Now, remember, this was after he was converted, because there's another scripture about Simon Peter. Before he was converted, Jesus said, after you are converted, then you can strengthen the brethren. Amen, because we know Peter was the one that denied Jesus three times on his way to his crucifixion. He denied him, and Jesus said, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, I'm ready to go with you to death. Jesus knew, amen, what was in Peter, but he knew, he said, after you are converted, then you can strengthen the brethren. And Peter went on to start the church in Rome, and amen, and he went on to do bigger and better things. In Acts, he healed the man that was born lame, that was laying at the gate called Beautiful. I mean, Peter went on to do great things in the name of the Lord, but he had to be changed. He had to be converted. His nature had to be changed. Amen. So let's read on. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, he's surnamed Boanerges. I have to pronounce Pope Boanerges, which is Aramaic, and that means the sons of thunder. And the sons of thunder mean sons of violent anger or rage. And I can't imagine they got that name because James and John got that name because they were angry. They became angry at the devil and at the work of the devil. And that's why the Bible says they were sons of violent anger and rage, like thunder. They were angry at the devil. Now, out of all 12 apostles, I only see three that he surnamed. And when you look up that word surnamed in the original Hebrew or Aramaic, it means, let me go ahead and talk about that. What is a surname for? Before, I don't want to get ahead of myself. What is a surname for? That's something I want you to think about. What is a surname for? This word in the original, the word surname means to add or to lay upon. It is taken from the root words meaning to lay upon, appoint, or make for one's use, to set, fit, or establish, or ordain. So their surname was what they were ordained to, it was what they were appointed to, and it was what they were established for. Amen. So that's what Peter, James, and John, they got their surnames because Peter got his surname, went from a pebble, which Simon means a pebble, to Peter, which means a rock. Amen. And then James and John got their surname, sons of thunder, which means that they were angry. They were going to be preachers of rage or anger at the devil. They were going to do the devil's kingdom some damage. So these three men had a special purpose or calling, amen, that was unusual from the other ones. And that's why Jesus pulled them to him and kept them close to him to see some of the things that the other disciples did not get to experience. And we're going to talk about that. There are only two scriptures in the Bible where he surnamed someone, and that's here in Mark chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. James and John were martyred, James and Peter were martyred, but John was not martyred. James, I'm going to give you a little bit of history here. James was killed by Herod Agrippa, swore, in A.D. 44. Peter was crucified at Rome. But John, the brother of James, the elder, which because it means it was more than one James, they called this James the elder, the one that was Peter's friend on the boat. He was a son of Zebedee as well. So John, let me talk about John a little bit. John wrote, the same man that wrote the Gospel of John, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote the three epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the New Testament, and he wrote the book of Revelations. Amen. He's also referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved, that laid on Jesus' breast. He was endeared to Jesus. He was the brother of James, amen, and a friend of Peter before he got saved. He is the only apostle that was not martyred. They tried to kill him, the Book of Martyrs says. They tried to boil him in oil. They couldn't kill John. So they put him on an island of Patmos and just said they was going to leave him out there by himself where he couldn't preach to nobody, and that he was going to be killed by the wild beast. But as we know, he received the revelation, the book of Revelations on the Isle of Patmos out there by himself. When the devil, what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for good. And he wrote the book of Revelations because he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So he was out there on this island. He could have been depressed. He could have been feeling sorry for himself. He could have been mad at God. But I can imagine John just wanted to praise God and thank God and build his relationship with God. And he said, I got into the spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. And he received the book of Revelations, which is one of the mightiest books in the Bible, because that's the only book where the Bible says if you change any of the words, you're going to be cursed with the book, the curses that's in that book. You can't change anything in the book of Revelation. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. That's what it tells you in the book of Revelations. So that's one of the most powerful books in the Bible. But let's talk about Peter, James, and John some more. So anyway, he was the only apostle. John was the only one that was not martyred, and history tells us that he outlived many of the other apostles. Now let's talk about all three of them again. All three were present for the transfiguration of Jesus. Let's go over to Luke chapter 9, verse 27. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 27, but I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus here was talking, amen, and he said, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, let's talk about this in verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after he said this that he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered or changed, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, which is Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease or his death that he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him, now this is in the flesh, they were heavy with sleep, and when they were awoke, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Now, this is what I mean when I say they were in the flesh. It came to pass as they departed from him, talking about Moses and Elijah, that Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. This is the old way of thinking, you know, the tabernacle that the Jews had, that they built when they wanted to worship God. He said, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. That's letting you know that that was not of God. While he thus spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of the things that they had seen. Now, let's talk about this. Jesus said, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death today, see the kingdom of God. And then 8 days later, he was glorified. He was transfigured and glorified and changed. His body was changed. His clothes were changed. He was glorified. You saw him with the way that he is in heaven. Amen. And this is what he mean when he said they shall see the kingdom of God. They saw him in his glorified body, Peter, James, and John. Amen. The Bible says that he took them into a mountain and they talked with him. And we're talking about the tabernacle that Peter was saying he wanted to build three tabernacles for Jesus, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elias. But he did not know what he was saying in verse 33. Peter did not know, but God was about to destroy the tabernacle that the Jews worshipped in after the crucifixion of Jesus. The purpose of the tabernacle was to be destroyed because his body was the tabernacle. There would be no need for an earthly tabernacle anymore. In Hebrews 9 and 11, the Bible talks about, Hebrews 9 and 11, let me turn to it real quick. The Bible says, but Christ becoming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, who appeared in glory and spake. Now, this is when he appeared in glory and spake of his death, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, let's go to verse 35. The Bible says, a cloud came and a voice came out of the cloud where God said, this is my beloved son, hear him, hear ye him. Now, let's turn over to Mark chapter 5, verse 35. I'm going to go back to that real quick. And the Bible says in 5 and 35, let me turn to that real quick. Okay, in 5, we are going to start at, 5 and 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any more? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, look at this, except Peter, James, and John. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly at the girl's death. And when he came in, he said unto them, why maketh you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleep. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them out, he took the father and the mother and them that were with him, talking about Peter, James, and John, and entered into the room where the damsel was lame. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And immediately, the Bible says, the damsel arose and walked, for she was about 12 years old, and they were astonished at great astonishment. And he charged them that no man should know it, and commanded that something be given her to eat. So here we see another miracle that Peter, James, and John were allowed to see that the other disciples were not allowed to see. Amen. And they witnessed the miracle of the ruler's daughter being raised from the dead. Let me tell you something. Anytime you receive a miracle from God, you better believe there got to be an atmosphere of faith somewhere. Even with Jesus, there had to be an atmosphere of faith. He put out all the people that was laughing and laughing him to scorn and doubting and talking about how crazy he was. He put all of them out the room because they didn't deserve to witness the miracle that was about to happen. Doubt and unbelief do not deserve to witness the miracle of faith. Miracles are received by faith alone. Amen. So that's what I want to tell you today. Amen. And our last scripture we're going to do today, I think, is going to be in Mark 13 and 3, talking about Peter, James, and John again. And we're going to turn to Mark chapter 13, verse 3. And the Bible says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple. Peter and James and John, here we say again, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answered and said, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So here again we see Peter, James, and John. This time Andrew was privileged to be with them, because he was the son, well, not because, but he was the son, the brother of Peter. And the last scripture we're going to do is in Mark 14 and 32. And I want you to turn over there. Still talking about the Peter, James, and John. In Mark 14 and 32, the Bible says, they came to a place that was called Gethsemane. Now, this is when Jesus was going through his passion. And the Bible says, he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John. Remember, this is the inner circle. He took them a little bit closer to where he was praying. He wanted them to pray with him for an hour so he could prepare himself to go to the cross. Amen. The Bible said his spirit began to be very heavy. Amen. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here, wait here, and watch with me. And he went. So that's why you got to be careful you have in the circle, saints. Now, these were people that was designed to be in his circle, and they still went to sleep on Jesus. But he went a little farther, and he fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible, this hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. And he came back and found them asleep again. And look what he said to Peter. He didn't say anything to the other two, but he expected more out of Peter. He said, Peter, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Now, this is a very powerful scripture. In verse 38, it says, watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation, because Jesus knew that Peter was going to be following him, the closest one to come to the inner court with him when he got his sentence. He said, Peter, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, for the spirit truly is ready, but your flesh is weak. And the Bible says he went away and prayed again and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy, neither wished they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and said, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So I just wanted to read to you a little bit today about Peter, James, and John and how they were part of the inner circle that worshiped God, amen, that was in the inner circle, and they were, amen, with Jesus, and God used them and called them aside to himself. God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos signing out from Man of Teaching Ministry. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I see you again next time we come together. I will post it on Facebook. Look for me on Facebook on the Man of Teaching. I'm sorry, on the Brenda Stanford or Brenda Amos, or you can find me on Blog Talk Radio under Man of Teaching. God bless you, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Good night.